Blog Talk Radio.
Unfortunately, you are not ready for me.
greetings. You are listening into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing the connection between food and mood. So how does food affect your mood? But before we get into that, I would like you to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. Again, that's conversationswiththequeen, everything spelled correctly, .blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss the show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. And also check out our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. And for all my queens out there, while y'all are on the net, be sure to check out our latest blog, thequeensandpost.blogspot.com. The Queensdom is a movement dedicated to uplifting the first teachers in the first classroom, which is the woman. So it's time to support sisters who support the community. Just posted our Woman Manifesto winner on there, so definitely go check the poem out. We'll be airing it live on Conversations with the Queen in the next coming week, so definitely look out for that. All right, so don't forget to check out my new earring line, Angel Wings, from Gemini Creations. They're stylish feather earrings that are infused with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. So to check them out, visit facebook.com/GeminiCreations. That is G-E-M-I-N-E-Y-E Creations, or email me at taequeen@hotmail.com. And that's taequeen@hotmail.com. All right, everybody. I mean, I'm sorry, y'all, for the delay, but we are still here rocking it live, and we do have a decent audience that did get the message, so I'm glad you guys are here with me. And, you know, for everybody who's listening, going to be listening back to this in the archives, I'm glad you came back and checked this out. So I do have Brother Yuma on the line. We're going to get right into it, and peace, Brother Yuma, peace. Are you on the line?
Peace, Sister Tay. How's everything?
How are you? Everything is great.
Good. Glad to be here. You know, thanks for inviting me back.
Of course. You know, for anybody who doesn't know or isn't a regular listener, we've had Brother Yuma on actually multiple times. Once by himself, and then again on our sexual abuse show. So, you know, you're familiar with Conversations with the Queen, and we love you, and we love to have you because you're just such an informative guest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. So let's just get right into the meat of everything, for lack of better terminology. How does holistic health reinforce the topic of how food affects mood?
Well, you know, again, to reiterate what holistic health is, mm-hmm. you know, holistic health deals with the approach of health from, you know, the spiritual aspect, from the mental aspect, as well as the physical aspect and environmental aspect of things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how, when we talk about how food affects mood, you know, that title in itself speaks on more than one aspect of one's being of health. You know, it's speaking about mood, which is the emotional aspect, and then you're speaking about food, which is something that people regard as physical. You know, so the holistic concept of that shows that food is more than just physical satisfaction, you know, but it's also emotional satisfaction that it contributes to as well, which means that it contributes to multiple aspects of our well-being.
Most definitely. So, I mean, we had you on before, and you talked about holistic health in general. You know, now we're specifying the emotional effect of it. I mean, it's just so important that, like you said, we regard that aspect of ourselves, how the food is affecting us on those levels. Because I think, too, you know, in the allopathic system of thought, there's just not a lot of attention brought to the way that your diet's going to affect how you feel and how you deal in emotional situations. So definitely, definitely an important aspect. So I'm going to bring something up, and this might not seem related or directly, but we're definitely going to tie it in. So what is malnutrition?
Well, malnutrition is when the body, matter of fact, you know, I'm not just going to say the body, but when one's being
mm-hmm.
is not getting the proper nutrition or the proper nutrients that person needs, whether it be from foods or whether it be from, you know, other types of substances. The proper nutrition that the body needs to keep up and running the proper way, that the mind needs to keep up and running the proper way, that you need for proper spiritual upliftment, development, et cetera, you know, you're not getting that. And so through that, you create what's called deficiencies, which is when, you know, things start to basically go wrong because you're not getting the proper nutrients to keep your body up and running, your mind up and running, your spirit up and running the way that it's supposed to.
Exactly. All right, so what are the emotional effects of malnutrition?
Well, the emotional effects of malnutrition, you know, before I answer that,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to say that when we get into the foundation of why we crave certain foods, because when we talk about emotional ties to eating,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times that's driven by cravings, and we may or may not relate those cravings to, you know, our emotions
mm-hmm.
based on our own level of awareness, you know. But the primary reason why we crave certain foods are because those nutrients are nutrients that we need. We may be lacking in those particular nutrients, or we may need more of those particular nutrients that's
mm-hmm.
contained in these certain foods, you know, to help us function normally,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way that we're supposed to function. So when we're lacking that, it's like our bodies are naturally programmed to send a signal like, hey, we need this. You know, if you need more iron, you're going to gravitate towards more foods that have iron in it. If you need more zinc, you're going to gravitate more foods that have zinc in it, et cetera. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's vitamin A or calcium or whatever it may be. You know, so the emotional effects of malnutrition are related to the nutrients that may be lacking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we're lacking, let's say, calcium, for example, you know, calcium is a mineral which affects the nervous system. You know, so you may have weak nerves. It affects the heart. You know, so you may have a weak heart, you know, and then emotions are tied in with those different aspects of the body as well. So if you have different, a weak nerves, you know, your nervous system is not strong, you may be more prone to be stressed more easily. You may have more anxiety, you know, have trouble relaxing, things of that nature. You know, with your heart, if it affects your heart, you may be more impatient. You may be prone to mood swings, you know. You may be prone to irregular thoughts, you know. So all of these things can really tie in and can, you know, of course, manifest themselves in the way that you behave, the way that you act towards other individuals, as well as how you act towards yourself, you know,
okay.
which can trigger things, which I know we're going to get into a little bit later,
mm-hmm.
but about the emotional eating, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Exactly. Exactly. A great point that was brought up in the chat was that a lot of people eat large amounts of foods but are still suffering from malnutrition. And
yeah.
That's because of the food content that they're, the nutritional content of the food that they're eating is actually not very high. So,
absolutely.
You know, exactly. So that's going to affect us as well. I think we're programmed to believe that malnutrition is something, you know, that happens in third world countries where they don't get
right.
enough food to eat. And, you know what I mean? And we think about, oh, the diseases that are associated with that, not understanding the diseases, a lot of the diseases that we suffer from right here in the United States of America are non-nutrition related, because we're having deficiencies and certain things like we just spoke about. So definitely a great point. Thanks to Brother Jamal.
That's right on point.
Exactly, exactly. So what are the biggest mistakes we are making when it comes to food choices? I think that goes right in line with what we just brought up.
Well, you know, some of the biggest mistakes is that we gravitate towards foods that we know are unhealthy for us. And, you know, so, for example, if somebody is feeling, you know, down and depressed, one of the first things that come to people's minds when you just picture it, you know, when you watch a movie, and what do people reach for? They reach for things like ice cream, or they reach for things like, you know, chocolate candies, or they may reach for fried this and fried that. You know, and these are things that we all know are not good for us, you know. And so, therefore, when you reach for these types of foods and they're not providing that proper nutrition that your body really, really needs, you know, then you're going to crave more and more of it, and we end up overeating those types of items. You know, when you're able to target, and this is hopefully what you will be able to do by the end of this show for those who are listening in, you know, when you're able to target what your emotions are and what you may be lacking through your foods, then you are able to, a lot of times, say, okay, well, I'm going to eat foods that may provide these nutrients that I need. That's going to be a healthier alternative than reaching for the ice cream and reaching for the chocolate or whatever your vice may be. You know, and through that, then you can actually start to work on the problem itself and not just treat the symptom of it.
Yes, yes, definitely. So how, okay, I think we just covered this a little bit, but let's still go into it. How is that affecting our emotional balance?
Well, you know, again, it affects the emotional balance because the emotions are controlled by the brain, you know. And so, again, when it goes into nutrition, is the brain getting the proper nutrients that it needs to run and function properly? If it's not getting the proper nutrients, you know, then you're going to have things that's going to go awry, you know. Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, your emotional energy can be down, it can be overexcited, you know, it can be irregular, which means that you can have your ups and downs, but there's no stability, you know. So through not having the right nutrition, you know, that affects how your brain is going to really send the signals to tell you how you're going to feel. You know, how you're going to, which in turn will tell you how you're going to act on those feelings, you know.
Most stuff. All right, we're here with Dr. Yuma speaking about how food affects our mood. We're definitely getting into some vital information, and I want to, you know, take a minute to just let all the callers know. The call-in number is 917-932-8881, whether you're listening live on the archives or you're listening through your phone. Definitely, definitely call up with your questions about this topic. It's definitely, you know, a great topic to get to know. We definitely want to know more about our bodies and how we can become healthier people as a whole. So call in. Again, that number is 917-932-8881. We do have one caller with their hand raised, and I'll get to them right after we get through a little bit more of these questions because they're very, very important. So we just talked about this a little bit. What is emotional eating?
Well, emotional eating is eating when, you know, you feel a certain way, you know, whether it be, and usually it's you know, it can be any emotion. It can be not just sadness, but some people eat emotionally when they're happy. You know, and a lot of times it leads to overeating, as I was saying before. You know, so if somebody eats and, you know, they're feeling depressed, so they may eat a cheeseburger, for example, you know, and they keep eating. Every time they get depressed, they reach for that cheeseburger. You know, that's emotional eating because it's tied to that feeling. You know, if somebody is feeling happy, and every time they're feeling happy, they go out to eat ice cream. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes just that experience, if you're feeling sad, you may go and reach for that ice cream because it makes you feel happy.
Program.
You know, so that's what emotional eating is in a nutshell. You know, when we start to reach towards things because it triggers a certain emotion, because it makes us feel a certain way, because it comforts us, you know, mm-hmm. usually that's what it's about.
Definitely. I mean, I can attest to that myself, experiencing emotional eating, because I definitely, you know, am a recovering overeater.
mm-hmm.
I say that because I've changed a lot about my diet. So, you know, there's certain things that I just don't do anymore, but I do have certain weaknesses, like I was just talking about in the chat with Dr. Sade. Big shout out to Dr. Sade, who's in the chat holding it down.
Yes, indeed.
You know, we're talking about salty foods, and she was like, I used to eat salty chips. I'm like, that's my issue. it's so funny because people who know me, they're like, you changed everything else, and it's like, that's your vice. And I'm like, yes, it's my vice. So she elaborated that that is a liver issue. Could you speak a little bit on that real quick?
Yeah, well, the saltiness is a and the crunchiness of the chips,
uh-huh.
you know, both of those characteristics are associated with anger.
Okay.
You know, and
yeah.
so when you think
okay.
about things that may make you upset, you know, a lot of times you may gravitate towards more salty foods, you may gravitate towards more crunchy foods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not with everybody because not everybody gets upset the same way.
Exactly.
You know, so that's important to keep in mind as well, you know. But some people who are more, if I may say, aggressive, tend to gravitate towards those foods. And sometimes the feeling of aggression can bring you towards gravitating towards those types of foods.
Yeah.
You know, so not only the taste but also the texture can be a trigger point. You know, and then when you think about maybe this might just be in my mind, but when I think about crunchiness,
mm-hmm.
I think about things that break. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
when you talk about anger, a lot of times people want to break something. They just want to, you know, punch a pillow or, you know.
And I think a lot of this, too, is repressed. Like, I think a lot of that, when we go to the food, I think it's a repressed energy, so we might not be readily thinking about that in the forefront of our mind, but it's more of a subconscious thing. So
oh,
I know that that's
subconscious.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's
right.
Why a lot of people don't realize it.
Mhm. Exactly. I mean, I didn't even know I was an emotional eater until I was like, hold up, in like health class and like the seventh grade, and it was like, I didn't even know what that was. And I was like, could I be an emotional eater? I thought about it, and I was like, I don't feel a certain way. But then as I got older, I began to notice the pattern. So I was like, yeah, definitely, that's me. We do have a caller from the queue with their hand raised. Caller from the 803 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or question that pertains to how food affects your mood?
Absolutely. Hey, peace. This is Palmetto Star. Peace. What's good, Queen? What's good, Doctor? I'm listening to this conversation and loving it, I gotta admit.
Thanks.
Now, I did have a question because, you know, you had said irregular thoughts. And
mm-hmm.
I was just wondering what your definition of irregular thought was, because, you know, that was a good phraseology, but I didn't quite understand the full scope and meaning of what you were saying. So I definitely just want to understand, like, where you're coming from when you say irregular thought and how different foods can, you know, trigger that. What's your definition of irregular thought?
Oh, that's a good question. A regular thought is something that can really have a wide range definition, you know, because it depends on the individual. But things that are outside of the norm, you know, irregular thought can be as simple and as common or mundane as just, you know, well, I am, you know, I don't feel like doing something that I love to do. You know, that can be in a regular thought. Or it can be as severe as things such as, you know, going out and committing acts that you wouldn't normally commit, you know, suicidal thoughts and tendencies. It can be as severe as that, you know. So it depends on the individual and the state of that particular individual. But,
I hear you.
Yeah, but yeah, it can range. You know, a regular thoughts for some people can be just things that are uncharacteristic of that person. If that person really values, you know, his job, for example, and it's like, I'm not going to work today. Forget that boss, you know, that can be an irregular thought.
Almost sort of like a drug addiction, how you could have, like, a straight man be on drugs, and because he's addicted to that drug, in order to get it, he'll even do homosexual acts to do that. Is that sort of like the same premise?
Yeah, it's the same exact thing, because, you know, again, food chemicals or chemicals that are in food, as well as the nutrients that are in food, can affect how the brain functions. It can affect how the brain perceives things. It can affect how you feel, you know, about different things. It can change how you feel about different things, you know. So it definitely has that same type of an effect.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I appreciate that clarity, Doctor. I was just wondering what you meant by that phraseology, and you really cleared it up for me, so thank you.
Oh, no problem, brother. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Peace, brother. Peace.
Peace.
All right. Yes, yes. Great question, by the way, and, you know, definitely some effective information. I want to let everybody know that we do have Hour Left in the live stream. The call-in number is 917-932-8881, and you can call in with any of your questions or comments that pertain to how food affects your mood. Let's get into a little bit of how we can combat emotional and overeating.
Well, the first step to combating anything is to identify what the problem is, what the issue is, you know, which sometimes starts with identifying that there is an issue, you know. And as I was speaking to you a little bit about, because I know you had mentioned something when we were talking earlier about simple carbs, and I said, yes, yes, please make sure that you mention that on the show so I can talk about my experience, you know. But we all have tendencies towards emotional eating, whether we know it or not.
Exactly.
We all are prone to those tendencies, myself included. Just because I'm on here and I'm a guest on the show, or because I'm a health consultant, doesn't make me exempt from any of these experiences. You know, but it just means that I've been able to identify these experiences, and I've been able to work with it, and I'm able to help other people to get through to it by my experience. You know, so through emotional eating, when I started to come into my awareness and I started to learn about these things, I said, okay, let me examine what I eat, when I eat it, and how I'm eating these things. So if I had, let's say, cookies, because cookies was a big weakness of mine. You know, I'm not going to lie to y'all out
here. She just said that in the chat. She was like, he loves cookies. She was like, he loves cookies. I was like, I know. Me too.
I was the cookie head, you know. And but cookies would be during certain time frames. And my wife would call me on it, too. That's why she could put that out there. Because she would call me on it, and she would say, what's up? You need some love now or what? You know, and that would be my experience. Sometimes I would be in a place where I would be disappointed. You know, I would have a lot of disappointment about what was going on in my life situations. And my fallback would be, all right, let me go get me some sweet and chewy. You know, because the sweetness brings forth the feeling of, you know, love, of enjoyment. You have the chewiness, which brings forth the feeling of comfort. You know, I didn't really like crunchy cookies. Like, I wouldn't go gravitate towards Oreos. you know, but I would gravitate towards the soft and chewy type of cookies, you know, that may have like a texture made with like an oat or something like that, you know, and that would help me to feel comforted for the time being. But at the same time, you know, I wouldn't just gravitate towards just one. I would be tempted towards getting another one after that, another one after that. Sometimes I might buy three or four cookies at a time, you know, and then I have to stop and examine. I'm like, wow, I'm eating way too much sugar, too much of these simple carbohydrates. You know, what's going on? You know, now I know better. And then when I look at the pattern and I look at what's going on, I say, okay, well, now I can start to curtail it. You know, and you may still make your allowances. You know, you may still have, you know, the occasional piece of cake or the cookie or chips or whatever. But learning to cut it down is one. You know, you definitely make sure you moderate it once you become conscious of that.
Exactly.
Second thing is trying to look for what nutrients are contained in these foods that are making me gravitate towards them. And if it's not nutrients, what type of characteristics are attributed to these foods that are making me gravitate towards them? You know, so with cookies, as I mentioned, you know, it was the sweet taste. You know, you got a little bit of salty in there, too. You know, a lot of people don't realize, unless you're like a baker or somebody like that.
Exactly, a little bit of salt in there and the baking soda.
Cookies have salt in it, too, you know, and it has quite a bit of salt or sodium in it as well.
Exactly.
You know, so you have the salt, which is dealing with the frustration aspect of it, the disappointment. You know, you have the sugar, which is, again, bringing forth that feeling of sweetness, you know, of enjoyment. And then you have the chewy aspect of it, which is bringing forth the aspect of comfort. You know, so I say, okay, well, what else can I have that's a healthier option that may be soft, sweet, and chewy? Well, what is sweet? You know, look towards things that are sweet. You may look at, say, fruits, for example, you know. All right, now you can narrow that down. What type of fruit are soft and chewy? Say, all right, well, let me see. What about figs? You know, and this is how you can kind of use that process to identify replacement foods that are better for you that will still kind of give you a similar effect, you know. So figs in that category a lot of times would make a better replacement for me. And for a while, you know, if you're not stopping everything cold turkey, this is for the people who are not as disciplined to stop everything cold turkey, you know. But, you know, for me, it was the figs that made a good replacement. And sometimes I would take figs and I might mix them with, say, Brazil nuts. You know, because nuts had a little bit of crunch to it, but it wasn't a lot of crunch to it. Just like cookies sometimes have a little bit of crunch to it, but not a lot of crunch to it.
Yeah.
You know, and that would satisfy the craving for the time being. You know what I'm saying? So now another aspect, again, is the nutritional aspect. Well, what type of nutrition is contained in cookies? And we have to remember that sugar itself is a nutrient. You know, sugar is not just, you know, the negative things that they put out here about sugar, but sugar itself is also a nutrient that the cells use for energy. You know, whether it be glucose or in the form of fruit sugar, which is fructose or whatever it may be. So that's one. You know, you look at what's contained in flour. You have things such as B vitamins. You know, if it's a whole grain flour that's being used and not the processed white flour, then you have B vitamins, you have vitamin E, you have magnesium, you know, all of these, you may have calcium contained in it as well, you know, so all of these types of nutrients are nutrients that deal with the nerves, the nervous system, the heart, you know, and it helps them to strengthen, you know, it also deals with your metabolism, you know, your digestion. The way that you're able to digest situations metaphysically. You know what I'm saying? So it deals with the way that you're going to process and perceive things. You know, and so if you have more, there's a product on the market, you know, and I'm not necessarily advocating this product, FYI. But this just comes to mind, and it's called, I think it's called CalCalm or Calcium Calm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just comes to mind because that's what's used. You know, it's like you take this product and you're able to calm down. You know, you're not so hype and upset about just anything, you know, and they also have one that's mixed with calcium and magnesium. You know, that helps people to relax, people who have trouble sleeping, et cetera. You know, so these types of nutrients are all associated with the same emotions that you're speaking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
all
that's,
right.
You know, that's one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We do have some callers on the queue. Caller from the 917 area code, thanks for holding. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments pertaining to how food affects your mood? Please, caller from the 917 area code. Well, I guess that caller is just listening in. If that caller would like to ask a question later on, they can raise their hand by pressing 1. We do have another caller on the queue with their hand raised. Caller from the 706 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions that pertain to how food affects your mood? Wow. Everybody's all silent. Okay. So they just listening in. That's what's going on with that.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can hear you, caller from the 706 area code. Yes.
Yes, I have a question. He stated that the cookies, you know, has the salt in it and also has the sugar in it.
Yeah.
My question is, I think more that it's more that your body craves the sugar and the salt than it being an emotional thing.
Hmm.
Is that true or false?
I'm sorry, say that again. I didn't hear you too clearly.
I would think that the sugar and the salt is more of your body craving it than an emotional aspect. Is that true or false?
Well, it can be both. You know, again, it has more to do than just the physical, but it doesn't mean that the physical is excluded. You know, so your body can also be craving it for other reasons. You know, it could be that your energy level is low, you know, and it could be, you know, spiritual that your energy level is low, you know, because most things, if not all things, start from a spiritual level first. Then it trickles down to the body, you know.
Well,
but we look at it from the perspective of you need something that food is supplying. If it's that sugar or if it's the salt, your body needs something, you know, that is supplying. And what, not just your body, but, you know, again, your entire being or part of your entire being needs that, you know. So whether it be that it's servicing that emotional issue, which a lot of times is underlying, you know, because people, again, this is subconscious that a lot of people don't necessarily tie in. But it may also be physiological. And I've had experiences with myself, those in my circle, as well as clients, where they would actually crave certain foods or plants, herbs, sometimes just oddball type things, even things such as, you know, people have a certain condition called, I believe it's called pica or pica, I forget which way it's pronounced, where they just start to eat just oddball type things, like it might be chalk or paper and things like that. I seen somebody eating a piece of tissue one time. You know,
I used
because
to do that when I was like really little.
Like,
I was kind of like, okay, it needs to stop when I'm a certain age. But yeah, I used to do that when I was really little.
I'm kind of lost in the spiritual part that you said, because me, I know as an individual, I sweat a lot, and the salt leaves my body and has to be put back in my body, or I'll cramp up. You know, when I put the salt back in my body, it releases the cramps in my body.
Right.
I'm not too with the spiritual aspect of it.
Well, you know, again, that's the physical aspect is not excluded. You know, we're not excluding the physical aspect when we're speaking about the emotional. We're building on top of it. You know what I'm saying?
It's so
all connected.
So in that
particular case, yeah, it's all connected. Mm-hmm. So in that particular case, that may be the primary thing. Now, what happens, how would you feel as a result of, you know, your body cramping up, as a result of not getting those electrolytes back that your body needs, that is being lost? You know, that can also affect your mental state as well, you know, if it's not being replenished. And so, again, you know, it's not devalidating that point, you know, but it's just building on top of it.
All right. Well, thank you, caller, for your question and adding into the conversation. We appreciate your call. All right. Definitely. Okay, so we're going to get a little bit deeper into this emotional eating aspect and speak about why we more so do it. And if I may add in this little piece of how I feel about why we do it. I feel like we do it partially because we feel like food is better than other alternatives. Sometimes we feel like food is something that's a given, like it's not a harsh drug or it's not something that we feel is immediately detrimenting our bodies. Like we think of food, we think of nutrition, we think of being healthy. So when we use food to remedy certain emotional issues, I think we feel like it's the safe out as opposed to other alternatives.
Well, I think that's partially like right on the head. You know, I think that the way that people perceive it, when they're conscious of it, is that way. You know, because it's more socially acceptable, and I think part of the root of it is our culture. You know, the culture of eating, because eating is almost like a culture in itself. When we have a wedding, you know, there's always food, a feast at the wedding. Somebody dies and there's a funeral. A lot of times there's food at the funeral. You know, if we go out to a baseball game or a basketball game, there's food there. If we go out and celebrate somebody's graduation, it's culminated with food. If we go out for somebody's birthday, it's culminated with food. You know, so it's like a lot of the traditions and customs we carry as a society revolve around food, you know, and so with that, those types of foods can be emotional attachments, if that makes sense. We can be emotionally attached to those foods by our experiences with them. And this is common in a lot of people who have been abused as well. And when the topic of emotional eating comes up, you know, this is one of the things that comes to mind first, is hearing of cases where, you know, children may be abused, whether it be sexually abused and molested, as we have spoken about during the last time I was on, or whether it be through physical abuse, whether it be through verbal abuse, you know, where a parent or where a sibling or where an aunt, uncle, teacher, whoever may be chastising that child with words, you know, making them feel low emotionally. And right after that, they may take them out and, you know, give them some type of food, usually a snack, a treat, you know, which is called ice cream, candies, cakes, you know, things of that nature, you know, root beer floats, whatever it may be. You know, that temporarily makes that child feel better. So whenever they gravitate towards that emotion in the future, it's like their body or the cellular memory remembers that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes back subconsciously again, you know, and sometimes they'll gravitate and reach towards these certain things and they don't know why, because they don't examine it. It's just like second nature. But when they do examine it, they can say, oh, wow, you know, this reminds me of such and such and such a time. You know, this reminds me of the time where my father was beating me and then he took me out to go get ice cream afterward and it made me feel better. You know, exactly. And so I know I had a client who had cancer, mm-hmm. you know, and we were speaking, and I told her, I said, look, you know, if you really want to get the most out of what you're doing from the holistic perspective, you need to give up the dairy products because mm-hmm. that was one of her biggest challenges. And she flat out refused, told me to my face and flat out refused to give up the dairy products. And I said, well, what is it about dairy products, you know, that is so appealing? There's so many different replacements out here and this, this, and that. She's like, it just takes me to a happy place in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, you know, when you realize that, then it's like, okay, but you can't stop there. You know, we have to realize that there's always ways that we can work around that. What else can you do past that? You know, can mm-hmm. how can you reprogram yourself? Can you reprogram yourself through small changes and adjustments? You know,
exactly.
But we have to be open to those things. But
all
I think
right.
that's what, you know, what a large part of it is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. And I think the biggest flag we have to see is when these foods are making us sick and they're hurting
okay.
us, if we're holding on to them, that's an aspect of self-hate because we're abusing ourselves now. So we have to really
mm-hmm.
dig deeper and understand that, okay, it's not I just want this. There's a reason. There's a deeper reason, whether I'm willing to acknowledge it or not. There's a deeper reason why I'm drawn to this food. Okay, so we have a good amount of time left in the live stream. I'd like to invite everybody who has a question, anybody who has a question, to call in. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. We're here live with Dr. Yuma discussing how food affects our mood. I encourage you to call up and let us know what your food weaknesses are. You know, maybe we could discuss some alternative things that we can do as far as what we like to eat and what that means for us spiritually and mentally as well as physically. So we definitely, definitely do call in. Again, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. All right. Now, what are some of the foods that can affect beneficial change in our mood?
Some of the foods that can affect beneficial mood changes are definitely things that it can depend on what mood you're going through. But a lot of times it's your basic fruits and vegetables. You know, your green leafy vegetables are very good to help stabilize the mood. Especially the darker ones. You know, the darker they are and the more antioxidants they contain, you know, the more that it's able to protect the brain from things like damage and inflammation, which some of these other more processed foods and, you know, the heavy meats, dairy products, refined sweeteners, et cetera, can cause, which can lead to imbalances, lead to irregularities, and abnormalities in the thinking structure and the emotional structure that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so getting back to that, also fatty foods, you know, which may be surprising to some people because, you know, when I was coming up, fats were like the worst thing ever. You know, it's like, no, if it had zero fat, it was good, you know, but fats serve a purpose. And part of the purpose that they serve on a physiological perspective is helping to protect the cells. You know, they form part of the coating of the outside of the cellular membrane, which helps to protect the cells. But what it also does is it helps to comfort people. You know, so it's been discovered that fats actually have a physiological effect on the brain, you know, that leads people to feeling better. It helps to produce more hormones such as dopamine, you know, which leads to improved mood. You know, so it's very important to make sure that we're getting green leafy vegetables, that we're getting the proper healthy fatty foods, you know, such as particularly fatty foods that come from the plant kingdom. You know, so we're talking about things like avocados. We're talking about your raw seeds, your raw nuts. And those are basically, you know, some of the main things. For those who eat fish, a lot of times, you know, fish is included in that category as well. Seaweeds, you know, can also contain essential fatty acids as well. So they can be very useful in that aspect also. You know, also, you know, your dark-colored fruits are usually very good for helping to elevate the mood. So, like blueberries and blackberries.
Okay.
You know, talking about even, you know, as I mentioned earlier, figs, you know, which is very good for that as well, particularly the Black Mission figs. Any type of black food, you know, it could be black beans, it could be wild rice. You know, but those types of foods, which actually, when you think about the color black, if you want to relate it to melanin, you know, and associated with the serotonin and melatonin content inside of the body, which helps to affect the way that we perceive and translate energy, you know, throughout our bodies, you can do it from that perspective as well. You know, so those are very, very important foods, whatever the darker colored plant kingdom foods, whole foods particularly, those are usually some of the best foods to have to help to keep the mood stable.
Yeah. I noticed, too, a lot of the time when I'm feeling a little anxious or whatever, like definitely this will fall under the dark leafy greens. I take some moringa powder and... definitely lifts my mood, especially with my spirulina and all of the green, like I do a green smoothie with all of that. So, like, those type of foods definitely help to bring up my mood and just alleviate my anxiety or whatever mood I'm in. It just helps to, like, bring me up to a different level. Also helps to motivate me to get in that mood where I want to do things that are healthier for myself, like if I'm about to do my yoga or about to work out or something. Those type of foods definitely help me to get in that mood. So... my little experience with that. Definitely call in. The call in number is 917-932-8881. And we have a listener in the chat that's a little bit just reluctant to call in, so they want to ask their question from the chat room. Feel like they need special treatment. I don't know why this person feels this way. But yes. We all know some foods are aphrodisiacs, which changes our mood. Are there any of those foods that are harmful?
Any foods that are aphrodisiacs that are harmful?
Yep.
The majority of the foods, you know, foods are foods. So when you look at it from that viewpoint, it's not really harmful. It's the overuse or the abuse of foods that can be harmful.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, some people would say that chocolate is a natural aphrodisiac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you can use chocolate or cacao, which is the raw form of chocolate that's unprocessed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that, and, you know, it's fine. It'll have the same effect. You know, and it actually is very good for the body. It contains large amounts of antioxidants. It helps to stimulate the heart and circulation. It helps to stimulate the brain and, you know, improve, you know, again, the brain chemicals that are responsible for helping you to feel better. But, however, you know, if you take too much of that, it can overstimulate you. You can become nervous and jittery. You know, caffeine levels can increase, et cetera. Some people would say the same thing about coffee. You know, coffee, a lot, the problem with coffee is the regular overuse of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can say the same thing about bananas even. You know, bananas can be a natural aphrodisiac as well. You know, but too much bananas, you know, can lead to, you know, a yeast infection, for example, you know, if you're overdoing it. So it's just a matter of, making sure that you are able to stay within reason in the way that you're using these different foods.
All right. That was a great question. If you have any questions, do please call in. The call number is 917-932-8881. We have a caller on the queue with their hand raised. Caller from the 216 area. Oh, well, they just got dropped, so I don't know. Maybe they'll call back in with their question. I know how it is sometimes when you're on the cell phone, calls drop, and things happen. But that's okay. So just call back in with your question, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. All right. Now, we just spoke a little bit about this. But so what are some foods that are absolutely detrimental? Like, I know we just said that most foods are okay as long as we're using them in balance. But there are some things out there that are really not even food.
Food-like substances.
Exactly.
That you like to use these days.
So can we, you know, elaborate a little bit on what those things are for some of our listeners that might not know?
Well, food-like substances are substances, you know, just that, because we can't really call them foods. What I consider foods are things that contain nutrition that will benefit your whole being, you know. If it's not containing nutrients that will benefit your whole being in its entirety, meaning like not separated and has to have nutrients added back into it, if it comes from nature, it's a whole entity in itself, and you're able to consume it,
mm-hmm.
and it's benefiting your body as a whole, then that's what I would consider a food. And I think we need to redefine what we think that foods are.
Most
of us are eating food-like substances, like mm-hmm. their foods, and then we wonder why all of these health problems are coming up on us.
Exactly.
You know, so examples of food-like substances would be like your processed foods, such as things that you would get at fast food restaurants, your Burger King, McDonald's, Aldi's, Popeye's, wherever, you know, that are fried, you know, deep fried and have all types of chemical stabilizers and preservatives added to them, refined sweeteners, refined salts, you know, all of these different types of things are junk foods, you know, such as honey buns and you know, Snickers, chewing gum, all of these things can definitely be very, very detrimental because your body does not process them as food, is not able to digest them properly, is not able to get the proper nutrition from them. And if your body is not able to derive nutrients from the food that it's eating, then that means that it's going to rob your body of nutrients because your body actually has to use nutrients in its stores to assist in breaking down and processing these food-like substances because they don't belong there.
So you're actually starving yourself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and creating deficiencies and imbalances within your whole being.
Somebody said in the chat, that's dead food. Definitely. I mean, it's beyond dead. It's like it's a different level. It's not even just dead. It's zombie food.
That's a good term.
Exactly. Somebody posted, I believe, I don't know, there's like a popular experiment that's around on YouTube. You can check it out, or on Facebook. There's some pictures of it where there's like some McDonald's Happy Meal, and it's been sitting there, and it shows you a picture of day one, then it shows you a picture of like day 80-something, and it looks the same. And it's like, okay, if that does that outside your body, what is it doing inside your body? So you just have to take that into consideration. If something can stay under a heat lamp and last for days, like, what can, you know, what kind of natural food is that? Natural food breaks down over a period of time. So we just need to be mindful, especially of what we just talked about, those food substances, because they're always going to be detrimental to our bodies, and not only our bodies, but by doing what she just said, robbing our bodies and depleting our bodies of those certain nutrients, they're going to have emotional effects, and they might induce other issues on different levels. Like we said, all things are connected, so We just want to make sure that we're watching out and make sure that we're eating whole and real foods.
Now, another thing I want to bring out to the forefront is that some of us, you know, again, on the topic of knowing better and not doing better, some of us will have a tendency to go out and get foods that we know are not good for us, and we beat ourselves up about it afterwards. I know a lot of people who do that. You know, they go out and they say, well, I'm going to go get some McDonald's today. You know, and they go and they get their McDonald's, and they feel horrible afterwards because they know that they should not have gone out and gotten that McDonald's. They may be dealing with some type of an issue, a health problem. They may be dealing with an emotional problem, and they know that's not the answer. So they go out and do it anyway because they just feel like it will make them feel better, and it doesn't.
Exactly.
You know, that's a signal that you need to stop doing that, you know. But don't beat yourself up about it after you do it. Just make a resolve within yourself and say, I'm going to do better next time. You know, and sometimes doing things such as affirmations can help that. You know, positive affirmations saying, okay, this happened, I don't feel good about this. And you remember that experience. Remember that it did not make you feel good.
Exactly.
And when you remember that it did not make you feel good, it will help to deter you from the sequential times where you may be put in the same situation or a similar situation where you may be tempted to go out and get things or do things that are not in your best interest.
Exactly.
But you remember that that experience did not benefit you.
Okay. We have a caller on the line. The caller from the 216 area code is back on the line. Caller, do you have any comments or questions pertaining to the topic?
Of course I do. I this is Dr. Sade.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, Yuma? I do have a question. So what about the vegans? You know, people think that vegans are, first of all, the number one healthy is people on the planet, but that's not the case at all, you know. But what about the cravings for soy? Now, I go through this issue once in a while. I can, like, not do soy for months, and then I'll go back and I'm like, oh, God, I want some of that soy fish or chicken, especially at Uptown Juice Bar on 125th in Harlem. Oh, my gosh. And then I'm off of it again, and bam. So what about that? What is the combative food for that or supplements, herbs?
Well, with soy products now, you know, and talking about that, you know, from what I gather, you're speaking more so about not soybeans themselves, but from the soy mock meat replacements.
Correct.
You know, which are basically texturized, because natural soybeans don't have those same textures.
Yeah.
You know, like the mock fishes, the mock, you know, chicken or what have you. You know, they're manipulated in a way where the texture can mimic that of animal protein. You know, so again, you're going into trying to correlate that with the meat that we are used to eating, that we may have grown up with or whatever. So it's a psychological thing more than anything else. You know, it's psychological. But also the emotional tie to it can also be dealing with the texture of it, which is a chewy type of texture, which, again, is dealing with the feeling of comfort through an uncomfortable situation that we may be going through. You know, so one thing that I often use to replace those are, you know, your natural beans, you know, natural legumes that you can make yourself. It doesn't have the same exact texture because they're not processed, they're not manipulated, you know, but they can also provide a lot of the same nutrients that you would get from soybeans. Another thing that I use often to replace that is mushrooms. Now, mushrooms is something that, you know, can be hit or miss for some people. Some people like it, some people don't like it. But when it comes down to the emotional aspect of it, mushrooms are excellent. And one of the things that are attributed to mushrooms as a property, you know, is the ability to help to relieve stress and to help the body to better adapt to stress. You know, so in Chinese medicine and other types of Asian medicines, mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms, are very popular. Some of you may have heard of Ganoderma or the Reishi mushroom. Some of you may have heard of Mataki mushrooms. Some of you may have heard of Shiitake mushrooms, which can commonly be found in supermarkets nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, but these mushrooms were among many that are commonly used as adaptogenic herbs in traditional medicines, you know, to help to, you know, relieve stress, to help the body to better adapt to stress, to calm nervous, anxiety, tension, you know, and also help ease anger, you know. So it has cleansing and rejuvenating effects on the liver, you know. It has good positive effects for the heart as well. And when you get into some of the nutrients that they contain, it contains things such as iron and zinc, you know, and what's the other one? Vanadium, you know, which helps with sugar cravings, you know, helps to process sugar. So, you know, when we get into the holistic aspect of it, also riboflavin is another one, or vitamin B2, mm-hmm. you know, which is a precursor to the amino acids that help to build serotonin in the body. You know, so
with hemp, with the hemp seed oil, the cold pressed hemp seed oil help with that?
I wouldn't think that it would help with that particularly, because it's different, you know, nutritionally mm-hmm. speaking, and also, you know, a lot of people crave that again for textural purposes. And what the texture sets off in their brain and in their emotional state, you know. So with something like hemp seed oil, you're not getting the same effect, you know. Also, the protein aspect of it, you may not get the same effect exactly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you
Great
very
question.
Much.
Great question. Great question.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Please. Thanks.
That was a great question, because especially for us vegans out there, we tend to think we're the healthiest people on the planet or whatever. So you can be an unhealthy vegan, and that happens by focusing on the wrong vegan food that you're eating. So you definitely want to make sure. I think, too, another thing is not settling into any one routine of foods, like liking to mix it up, making sure that we have a lot of variety in our diet. That's going to be something that's going to definitely help us as far as, you know, being more being exposed to more nutritional value. So hold on.
Yes,
we
indeed.
Do
that's
have a caller from the 214 area code. Caller from the 214 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions for Dr. Yuma pertaining to how food affects our mood?
Yes, I do. I was going to ask about hemp seeds and just hemp in general, because I've been using the hemp seeds in particular in my smoothies. And then here recently I started hearing things about how hemp wasn't a real food, and I was like, wait a minute now. So I wanted to be clear that that as to whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing. And the same thing with you know, other chemically processed things. You know, I mean, I'm just not 100% clear.
Mm-hmm. As far as it being, you said you heard that it wasn't a real food?
Right. Like, even though it's being promoted as healthy, that it's really not a real R-E-A-L food source.
Yeah, no, I would have to disagree with that. You know, hemp seeds are very nutritious.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Yeah, they contain all of the essential amino acids and all of the essential fatty acids that the human body needs.
Okay, great.
You know, as well as a plethora of other nutrients that may be difficult for us to get, you know, through the American diet, so to speak. You know, so for example, they're very rich in zinc, you know, which zinc is not really found in a lot of foods at a high level, you know, but the hemp seeds, they contain a very large amount of zinc in a very small portion, you know. So like if you do, say, 3 to 4 tablespoons of hemp seeds, you know, you can get almost about half of the daily recommended value of zinc that you would need in a day.
Oh, okay, very good.
So that's one serving, you know. But, again, sometimes they can be altered. Now, where you would normally see hemp seeds altered is two things. One, if you get a non-organic variety, they can sometimes be altered with a chemical substance.
Okay.
And two is that if you get the hemp seeds that have the shells still on them, in the United States, all hemp seeds that have shells still on them that are commercially sold are irradiated.
And they
go through that process so that people won't try to take those seeds and plant them.
Oh, wow.
You know, so those are the two things that I would really kind of advise against. You know, I would say get organic shelled hemp seeds. Now, the unfortunate aspect of it is that obviously the whole seed inside of the hull and everything would be the more nutritious option.
Right, the ideal.
Right, right. You know, so because of that, now you have different hemp seed products which all contain different hemp seed qualities to them. So you got the shelled hemp seeds. Then you have the hemp seed oil. Then you have the hemp seed cake or the hemp seed flour,
right?
You know, which or the powder, which they sell as like the protein supplement,
right?
You know, so it's like if you want to get the complete hemp seed nutrition, you have to kind of like get all of those products, you know, or get the hemp seed butter, which they sell in the refrigerator section of natural food stores. You know, it would also be probably a more viable option.
Okay, hemp seed butter. See, I had never heard of that, so I'll definitely be looking for that.
Yeah, it's almost like a, you know, peanut butter, almond butter type of thing.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for calling in. That was a great question.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Have a good evening.
You do the same. So it's peace and blessings.
I think that brings up a point to of food extremism, because some people, you know, we hear there's so much information out there, especially nowadays in the age of the internet, which it can be a great resource because obviously we're on the internet right now, so it can be a great source of information. But at the same time, what we begin to have is the access of so many different perspectives and different, you know, experts on different subjects, and not everybody's going to agree with each other. So you might hear so many things, you can't eat, to the fact that you're just eating like one thing, or you're just pretty much breathing because you're just afraid to eat anything else outside of what's recommended to you. So how do you view like the food extremism that goes on, especially with the health conscious community?
Well, you know, I think that there has to be a balance. Mm-hmm. You can't have an extremism because obviously, you know, with that comes, you know, you're going to be lacking in something.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, is that they're listening to everything that comes out without doing their own proper research, or without, you know, really getting a balanced view on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're confused. And so some people will attempt to just cut out too much, and some people will just get frustrated with the whole thing and say, I'm going back to what I was doing in the first place, you know, which neither one of those options are really good. So, you know, the way that I view it is what's good for the individual, what's good for you.
Exactly.
You know, because what's good for me may not be good for you. What's good for you may not be what's good for Serena Williams, you know. We have to get back in tune with our own bodies and what our needs are, you know. So I And again, this is something I can speak on from a personal standpoint as well, because I've been through my different stages of, you know, making my adjustments in my foods and my lifestyle. And I've seen a difference in certain things. So, you know, some at one point I cut out, you know, a lot of wheat products and whole grains and things of that nature. And I said, man, you know, I keep hearing so much about how the grains are not good. And then when I went and did research on a lot of the grains and stuff and, you know, was going by what other people were saying and I was hearing, I was like, yeah, I need to really cut down on these grains. And I did that, and I noticed that when I did that, my body wasn't all the way it should have been. You know, and so I went back to eating them, and I felt much better. You know, and I noticed that some people, it's the exact opposite.
Exactly.
You know, they're going around, some people who have turned vegan, and they've given up meats and they've given up dairy products and they've given up this, this, and that, but they're still eating grains and they have trouble losing weight. Or they may have trouble with depression, or they may have trouble with other types of imbalances, whether it be in their cycle or, you know, lots of different things where the body is really not cut out to process those grains the proper way. And so... you know, it leads to, again, a state of imbalances. So I say, you know, you have to be in tune with your body. What is good for you?
Exactly.
What do you notice you get the best results from? And that's usually, you know, the best things to stick to. And, of course, it's good to go into that with the proper knowledge of nutrition or somebody working with you who has good knowledge of nutrition. So that way you can make sure that you are, you know, getting your, fulfilling your needs from a nutritional standpoint as well. You know, so that's what one thing from my experience that I had to look at when I was lacking on certain things. I had to look from a nutritional standpoint. And then I said, well, you know, what can I eat that's going to fulfill this nutritional standpoint, nutritional need that I feel that I have? You know, and then I said, well, you know, it may be the grains. And I went back to that, and I felt the benefits from it. You know, there was a time where I had bleeding gums, for example, which, you know, this may not be related on the emotional perspective, but I had bleeding gums very badly for a little while. And I examined. I said, what am I eating? What do I need more of? I said, oh, I'm not eating enough fruit. I'm not getting enough vitamin C. You know, and so I went and I started, I made a conscious effort to eat more fruit. And lo and behold, my gums stopped bleeding, you know, that with the other herbal remedies that I was using. You know, so again, you know, it's about being able to identify what you need as an individual, not necessarily just following a cookie-cutter guideline that some people put out.
Exactly. And also, too, another thing is your body might be overly sensitive to certain foods just because you switched up how you're eating now. If you haven't gone through a deep cleansing process, your body still has leftover residue of toxic foods in your system. So if you're not cleansing and making sure that you're cleaning out your body, you know, in certain ways, in certain formats, you might have hypersensitivities to certain foods for a certain period of time. And then once you've surpassed that and cleansed out the toxins in your body, you might be able to re-implement them back into your diet.
Oh, yes. And that brings about a great point, too, about detoxification and mood, you know, because detoxification doesn't just detoxify the waste in your body, but it can also detoxify your body or your being, rather, from negative emotions, you know, that can be stored through the buildup in the different organs in the body, you know, through the kidneys. So detoxifying your kidneys may help with things like fear, unresolved issues in the past, you know. Things of that nature usually are associated with the kidneys. If you're detoxifying your lungs, you know, it may help with being able to bond better with someone, or it may help with, you know, the negative emotions of grief and sadness. You know what I'm saying? Getting over somebody's death, for example. You know, if your mother passed away maybe 5 years ago and you haven't completely gotten over her transition. You know, then you may want to do a detox for the lungs. You know, so you know, again, there's different organs that are correlated with your emotions as well, and sometimes it can be an energy blockage or congestion in those different organs, which can be contributed to or exacerbated by the foods and toxic buildup just from day-to-day living and your lifestyle, you know. So detoxification can definitely be a huge aid to that process.
No, Steph. Well, we have two callers on the line. Caller from the 617 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions that pertain to the topic?
Peace. Hi, Tay. It's Leticia, and peace,
Hi.
Dr. Yuma.
Please,
you kind of you kind of touched upon what one of my questions, so I guess I'll ask another question because you're talking about detoxing and cleansing. My question is regarding organic foods. Because it's such a trend now, I've been like doing some research about how regulations have changed on what's organic and what's conventional. What are your thoughts on purchasing organic food products if say you can't grow your own foods?
Well, you know, what I say personally, and you know, people may have conflicting or differing opinions on this, but that is not first on my priority list. You know, because there's only a certain you know, level of control that we have if we're not growing our own produce.
Exactly.
You know, so if you're if you're in a position where you have to get produce from an outside source and you're not able to have a connection with the people who are directly producing it, you know, where you have to get it from a market or whatever, where it can come from who knows where, then, again, you know, you just have to really do the best you can, do the best to your knowledge, you know, and try to do things that are going to help to offset any potential negative effects.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my approach on it, because, you know, I know some people even financially are not really in a position to go out and buy organic everything, you know, from a conventional store or even from a health food store, where a lot of times they overcharge for organic produce.
Yes.
And may not even be really organic, you know. But because of the hype, you know, the marketing hype of the term organic, you know, it kind of gives a license to just go out and overcharge and, you know, really diminish the quality. Because I've seen organic produce that had a worse quality than so-called conventional produce.
Right.
You know, I've seen celery that may be labeled organic, but it's very whitish in its color, you know, and it's very small, and it just doesn't have a good life energy to it. Whereas some of the so-called conventional celery, you know, may have a darker green color to it. You know, it may just have a more of a life force to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in a case like that, which one would you gravitate towards? Do you gravitate towards the white celery, or do you gravitate towards the nice, healthy-looking green celery? You know, that may be fresher. It's not in a plastic bag. You know what I'm saying? So I know which one I would typically gravitate towards, and I just make the effort to, you know, wash it more thoroughly.
Exactly.
I may, you know, using things like the apple cider vinegar or, you know, lemon juice and, you know, using that as a washing agent. You know, maybe even letting it soak in there for a little while for the things that you can let soak in there. And, you know, help to get some of that residue and things like that out, and doing cleansing periodically as well is useful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for calling in, Leticia.
Thank you.
quickly shout out your business, because for those who don't know, Tisha is a local business owner in the Boston area. She's definitely on the topic right now of, you know, healthy food and healthy eating. So definitely let them know about what you do, Tisha.
Oh, thank you. Well, my business is Piece of Food Wellness, and that's P-E-A-C-E, and I'm a health coach who specializes in plant-based diet or plant-based eating, bringing people back to a more natural way of eating. So, yep, and you can find me on Facebook at Piece of Food, or my website is pieceoffood.com. Thanks, Tay.
Wonderful, wonderful. Keep on, sis.
All right, peace.
Definitely check her out. Sister's very knowledgeable, knows what she's talking about, and, you know, is definitely doing her thing. So with 5 minutes left, we're going to take this last caller. Caller from the 434 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queens. Do you have any comments or questions that pertain to the subject?
Greetings, greetings, everybody. Join. This is Mr. B from VA Culture Awareness Ministries. I've been checking your show out. Please, I was calling you up. I got a question for, actually for my mother. I've been listening to your show about how foods can affect your moods. Listen to you say things about crunchy foods, about anger, about chewy foods and soft foods and sugary foods. Now, the question is, what foods, they say she lacked the mineral lithium in the body. And I was wondering, what other foods besides, you know, they give them all these different medicines for that. But what foods can they, or alternatives could they use to help balance out their body as far as lithium and as far as, like you're saying, the different moods of anger, anxiety that you were saying?
Sea vegetation, usually the sea vegetation and seaweed type supplements such as spirulina, chlorella, and the other types of seaweeds, you know, those are usually very good sources of lithium because you don't really need a lot of lithium in the body. That's one that's a trace element. You know, so it's usually found in those types of, sea vegetation. Another thing that you can utilize is the herb sarsaparilla root, you know, which is also a, natural balancer, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so those two things are the first that come to mind. Now, if she's taking prescription medication, you know, though sarsaparilla is safe with, many different medications, I would definitely recommend to make sure you do, you know, proper research first, just to ensure the safety of it, you know.
Then isn't it, I thought it was something called Calm Out or something like that. That I think Dr. Linda Clark came out with or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Some years back.
It's called Calm Out, you say?
Yeah, it's something for people that's on Ritalin and stuff like that, but it's a natural alternative.
I'm not familiar with that product. There's a lot of different products that are out on the market, and I'm not familiar with all of them. But there are a lot of alternatives, you know, for people who don't want to use prescription drugs for whatever issue that it may be, you know, and especially dealing with mental balances, I really, really don't advocate using prescription drugs. And part of that is really because it's not proven to work.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
They're not really even proven to, say, alleviate the symptoms in a balanced way. You know, they may alleviate part of the symptoms, but then they have side effects which can actually lead to worse mental imbalance.
Right now it's starting to affect the kidneys, so I know that it's going to affect the spirit as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sarsaparilla, that's why the sarsaparilla would be a useful herb, if you could get your hands on some of that also. It's because, you know, that's also a very good one for the kidneys also.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling. calling in. Great question. We only have a minute left on the live stream, so peace, brother. We only have a minute left on the live stream, so if you're listening in through the live stream, please do call in. The call number is 917-932-8881. Again, that's 917-932-8881. Please call in quickly so we can get through the rest of these little questions that we have. And before we get to the next question, I want you, Brother Yuma, to please shout out your contact information really quickly and go through any events that you're going to be having in the near future.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to reach me by phone, that's the easiest way. It's area code 202-469-0264. You can also visit our website, www.yew360.com, which is u360.com, and our email address, yew360@yahoo.com, or if you have personal questions directly for me, it's dryew@ymail.com.
Mm-hmm. All right. So definitely hit the brother up if you have any, you know, comments or questions or things you want to ask about, or you want to check out his products, go to his website. Definitely do that. Brother has some great stuff on there, and I will tell you because I personally ordered some, so it is good. So definitely do support the brother. Do you have any upcoming events that you're going to be involved in?
Yes. What's more immediate? We have on August the 10th, which is this Friday, as a matter of fact, I will be out in Baltimore, Maryland, at the Grindhouse Juice Bar, which is 2441 St. Paul Street, zip code 21218, corner of between 24th and 25th Street, I believe. That's in Baltimore. I'm doing actually a health Q&A from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., and then we're going to transition into a movie night along with my wife, Dr. Sade, from 7:30 p.m. So that is a donation-based event. I will be there this Friday, again, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., doing a health Q&A and talking about nutritional juices for specific health conditions. And from 7:30 p.m., we'll be doing a movie night there. That's this Friday. Saturday, I'll be at Dynamic Wellness in Washington, D.C., 402 H Street Northeast, doing a wellness day, you know, Family Spirit Wellness Day, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., children are welcome to come. Please bring children out, as well as adults, as well as whoever else is interested in getting more information, doing some activities that are going to be beneficial for your health and wellness. August 18th, I'll be down in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Inside Body Health and Wellness Expo. And lastly, for this month, I will be at Happily Natural Day. Can't forget Happily Natural Day.
Oh,
big shout out to Brother Deron Chavez, Brother Manifest, you know, who is hosting that and putting that together for the 10th year. The 10th consecutive year, all about natural beauty, health, you know, health and wellness, and celebrating us as you know, African people, you know. So I'll be there doing a workshop, actually, a free workshop. The event itself is free, and I'll be there doing a free workshop that is going to be centered around men's health. So definitely make sure you come and pass through there. That's going to be in Richmond, Virginia. For more info on that, go to Happily Natural Day, spelled out exactly as it sounds, happilynaturalday.com.
Exactly. Definitely do. Big ups to all my VA fam, because, you know, that's where my family from. So we've been down there all the time. Big ups to everybody down there. We got this one last question we're going to take before we leave out. caller from the 443 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions that pertain to the subject?
Hi, everyone. Greetings. I had a question. Since we were talking about emotional eating, my mom has been going through the change of life, and I give her my suggestions. I told her to stay away from caffeine and different things. Is there a certain food that she can eat to help with that? Do you know, back to you?
Well, you know, again, it's holistic changes, you know, so it has to be a change in the food that she's eating, period. You know, mm-hmm. But again, a lot of the things that we spoke about earlier and pertaining to that would apply in that situation as well, and particularly you know, the healthy fats. Because mm-hmm. that helps to supply, you know, the materials for making the hormones.
Hormones.
You know, to help with hormonal balance, you know, with, particularly with estrogen in this particular case.
Okay.
You know, so things like, depending on her particular makeup is, you know, it could range from, you know, maybe avocados would be beneficial for her, or maybe taking a particular oil. You know, like flaxseed oil or hemp seed oil or one of those. You know, it's just, I would just recommend that, you know, see which one works best for her or get with the consultant, either myself or another one, to get more specific suggestions on, you know, what would be best for her.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. We met with you a while, maybe probably over a year ago, so I think I'm going to bring her in to see you. Are you still in Laurel?
No, I'm not in Laurel anymore. I'm Capitol Heights. Are you in Laurel or in Baltimore? Are you calling from 443 class of Baltimore?
Yeah, area? I'm actually in, I was in a Baltimore, I'm in the Annapolis area, so.
Okay, well, sometimes I come up to the Baltimore area, you know, so that can be an option. Or also, I'm out here in Capitol Heights, which is close to the D.C. line, so either one. But if you have my number, my new number, because my number changed also, is area code 202-469-0264.
Okay. Thank you all.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, sis.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Yeah. Great question, and great that we could connect her back with you, so
that's
beautiful. That's wonderful. All right, you got any last things you want to just tie up real quick or any last things you want to say?
You know, just want to reiterate the message of, you know, making sure that we are doing the right things for ourselves, which starts with self-awareness, you know, being in tune with yourself. Being in tune with their needs, you know, at the base of everything. So definitely, you know, work towards that and work towards that by listening to yourself and also by examining. You know, always go back over and say, you know, how can I improve?
Exactly.
And let your actions follow.
Exactly. Well, thank you for spending this time with us again. You know, you are always a welcome and valued guest here on Conversations with the Queen. So keep us updated on anything that you're doing and any way we can help you promote it, let it be known, let it be heard. So that's what we're here for.
Yes, indeed. Thank you again, sis.
No problem. Peace, brother.
Peace and love.
All right. You have been listening into Conversations with the Queen, brought to you by Poetic Energy Network Station. You can catch a plethora of beautifully informative shows here throughout the week. So please come back tomorrow because, you know, since we just got finished discussing health, you would love the show we have on Here's to Your Health with Dr. D. Morton Spurrow. She is a great, great naturopathic physician, so she will give you some more information on natural health if you're interested. Also, don't forget to tune in next week. We're going to have Dr. Kalfani Rivers. All right, Dr. Kalfani Rivers speaking on gemstone therapy. So definitely come back next week and tune in for that. All right, in the meantime, I'm going to play us out with some KRS-One, Know Thyself.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. What about y'all? Y'all ready to go?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. Look, know thyself and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Know thyself and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Know thyself and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
God is the mother, the father, the friend. Know ye not that ye must be born again? What does it mean to be in the world but not of it? It means you want the car, the cash, the jewels, the house, but you don't love it. It means the taxes, regulations, state law, you live above it. It means you a free hip-hopper, you ain't nobody's puppet. You don't see no money on me, you see it up in the cupboard. You see me up in Toys R Us with my seeds, cause they love it. You see insurance flash out if my kids pass out. You see 7 acres of land when we get all spazzed out. To all my fathers and fathers, hold your head up for starters. Teach your toddlers not to be thieves and robbers. This that other kind of rap that leads to true hip-hop. There's other kinds of rap, but they lead you to get shot. The choice is yours, you getting older now. You got a kid coming, how you gonna hold it down? It's one thing to be iced out and rocked up. What's the point if you're getting locked up? Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
God is the mother, the father, the friend. Know ye not that ye must be born again? It's really time we separate the young men from the big men. The young girls from the women, whatever the title fit them. My style's designed to open a child's mind when I spit them. I only got a little bit of time to really rhyme and uplift them. You see them brothers talking about that crime, forgive them. It won't be long before they words manifest and they live them. Sometimes you gotta go back to the beginning to learn. After 15 years, I'm just forgetting to burn. To all my true hip-hoppers to pay bills and live proper. Never allow a negative thought to stop ya. Correct your posture. Stand upright, not uptight. Don't be scared of the light. Just prepare for the fight. We say criminal-minded, cause our thoughts are illegal. We represent the very thinking of inner-city people. Real people. People that take care of themselves. They need help, love, awareness, and wealth. Not to mention knowledge of God. Not college, the job, and dead. If you agree, nod your head. It's one thing to be iced out and rocked up. But what's the point if you're getting locked up? Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
God is the mother, the father, the friend. Know ye not that ye must be born again? Come on, come on, yo, tonight is it. We gonna steal away together through each rhymes I spit. When the student is ready, the teacher shall appear. So I'm here, but are you really ready to face your fears? More money, is that your credo? You've been living in a dream world, Neo. Power to the people. Nobody's equal, everybody's diverse and different. My lyric will never cheat you, my verse is gifted. So manifest what you believe is God Almighty. It could be Allah, Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Aphrodite. It could be Nefertiti, come hear me and never fear me. It's like at some point in your life, you're gonna have to hear me. I represent them teachers, preachers, coming to your speaker. Manifesting another lesson to them true believers. Instead of picking up our women, ready to mistreat them. You better get yourself a wifey kid and never leave them. You better teach them, you better read them, you better feed them. The system will defeat them. If you don't teach them, the cops will beat them. The style that I be kicking quick is edutainment. Hip-hop culture needed a teacher quick, so I became it. Instead of rhyming about my history and what I've been through, I'd rather rhyme about awakening the God within you. Yo, it's one thing to be iced out and rocked up, but what's the point if you're getting
welcome to the Poetic Energy Network Station. It is with great compassion that our network owner, Michelle E. Alford, provides to you an array of qualified hosts that share the commitment to educate, entertain, motivate, inspire, heal, enlighten the spirit, and positively affect the human experience. It is with great pleasure to bring to you this segment of Conversations with the Queen, with none other than the Queen herself, Tay Queen, where her conversations enlighten the nation.